we're in replacement cycles rather than just things being run out of town. And I guess that means that when you are working in a field, always be learning, right? Always be doing new things, things that you find are exciting. Always get yourself outside of your comfort zone, working on the edge where things aren't really well defined. Because not only are you learning, you're becoming an expert. You will be able to teach other people.
The world is changing. Every day, new developments in robotics and artificial intelligence are evolving the way we work at an unprecedented pace. But just where is this robot revolution going to take us? And what will the future of humans and robots working together look like? I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M, and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter. On this episode, we're talking robots and artificial intelligence, and the ways developments in these fields might just offer some much-needed help when it comes to our work life. Ever since that first computer screen flickered and hummed into life, humans have been asking one very important question. Will a computer be able to do my job someday? At the moment, robots may not be as advanced as you might imagine. For example, they're not great at doing some menial tasks. They programmed a robot to fold laundry. And
a robot picked up a sheet, and 15 minutes later, it had managed to fold the sheet just in half. Because these are integral, they're sensory tasks, they involve motion and coordination. Those are the kinds of things that we are not good at teaching robots how to do.
That's Mark Pesci, a leading futurist who's been at the forefront of the digital revolution for 35 years. And he says that industries like forestry, waste management, land conservation, and farming are just a few that will benefit from the advances in robotics.
The Center for Field Robotics at the University of Sydney does this huge program in bringing robots to farms. And one of their designs is for a robot that basically is just a mount for smartphones. You can put a relatively cheap, sort of a $200 smartphone in. A smartphone has a camera, it's got connectivity, and it can drive the robot, but it can also take a look at the crops in real time, upload those pictures, take a look about whether the crop is diseased or if it's growing well, figure out how to put exactly the right amount of nutrients on that or the right amount of water, or whether it has to fire a torch at it and burn it because it's a weed. And all of this, again, is going to happen with a couple of thousand dollars worth of parts, which means that a village in Indonesia or a village in Papua New Guinea can have access to one of these robots, and they will work for the entire village. And all of a sudden, a lot of the hardest parts of farming get a lot easier for people, and the yields go up.
And what does Mark think is the most exciting development in robotics? Well, he has a few.
I'm going to just give you one that is actually really both obvious and actually at the same time surprising. So we hear a lot about drones, and a lot of people have toy drones that they got for Christmas or things like this. And drones are now starting to scale up so that they're getting to be big enough that they can carry a person. And we have, of course, autonomous cars running around our cities. But autonomous cars are actually really hard because there's so much stuff that an autonomous car has to watch out for when it's running around a city, including people who are just dangerous. But with a drone, it's quite different because when you're up in the sky, there isn't a lot you have to worry about except maybe some birds and some other drones and passenger aircraft. And it's relatively easy to keep track of that. And so what we're going to see is that we're going to start to see passenger drones, single passenger drones, and probably multiple passenger drones. What it does do is it opens up the hinterland in a way that it hasn't been before because the transport cost is so high. And I think drones, autonomous drones, are going to come along and blow that wide open. And all of a sudden, particularly in the developing world, particularly because they don't have a good transport infrastructure, the cost of transportation is going to drop. And all of a sudden, these economies and these people and these farmers are going to find new markets that they haven't had before. And we think, oh, drones, they're going to be, you know, in the developed world. Well, actually, I think they're going to be a lot bigger and cheap enough that we're going to see them all over the place in the developing world, just like we do the smartphone.
When it comes to robot learning, there's Professor Anton Vandenhengel. His research focuses specifically on developing visual learning for computers, something he believes needs to be perfected before robots will be able to carry out menial jobs.
Because that's a big opportunity, isn't it? A huge financial opportunity for the country. This revolution's coming. We've got the best research in the country. We should be able to do something with it, you'd hope.
Indeed. So there are some job losses coming. I think they're overplayed, but there are certainly some job losses coming. But those job losses will happen whether we take the advantage or not. The technology will come in from overseas, and that will cause those job losses. The opportunity for Australia is to exploit the research strengths that we have, this world-class research capacity that we have in Australia, and use that to generate the next generation of opportunities that will replace those jobs in ways that we haven't even understood yet, in ways that you can't imagine the jobs that are coming, and they'll be fantastic and have a huge impact on the world economy. But we need to make sure that Australia captures that opportunity rather than being left behind again.
These new jobs Anton's talking about could be anything from installation, bespoke construction, servicing, maintenance, house calls, the list goes on. And Anton believes that AI will one day not just be able to help us with basic tasks, but also understand our intentions. And the best thing for him would be,
I'd love to be able to say to a robot, bring me a spoon.
Now, fetching a spoon may not seem like the most important job in the world, but the point Anton's making is, the collective knowledge required to carry out a task like this is far greater than most people realise. Because
spoons live in drawers, that drawers live in kitchens. Kitchens are relatively shiny rooms that you get to through a door. Doors are connected to hallways. And so even if you put a 10-year-old in a house they've never been in, there's a fair chance a spoon will come back. If you ask a robot to bring you a spoon, yeah, you're going to be waiting 20 years before a spoon comes back.
If repetitive tasks in the workplace become more automated, what will separate the companies that flounder from those that flourish? Toby Walsh is a professor of artificial intelligence at the University of New South Wales and author of the book It's Alive. He believes the future is not only bright when it comes to AI, but that new technologies could make our lives a whole lot easier.
You must have seen a few changes in artificial intelligence over your career.
Yes, it's probably the most exciting time to be a professor of artificial intelligence. We are making quite remarkable progress, and it's starting to infiltrate every aspect of our lives.
For a long time, we've been sending in robots to do dangerous things like defusing bombs or checking for landmines. But increasingly, we'll be getting them to do jobs we simply just don't want to do. Toby calls them
the four Ds, the dull, dirty, difficult and dangerous. And they'll be taking those sorts of jobs where, you know, people's lives are at risk, and it will make our lives more interesting. We can focus on the better things in lives.
So the skills that could become precious commodities in the future probably won't be the ability to produce products quickly or in huge amounts, but the ability to create products that can only be made by the human hand.
Also with things like carpentry, I think we're going to see more and more focus on the bespoke. That there'll be things that are mass-produced often by robots that will be cheap and all of us can afford, but there'll be increasing value placed on things that are made by the human, made by the touch by the human hand, things that are unique. And so those people with those bespoke skills that can do one-off carpentry are going to be increasing demand to be able to charge more and more for their services.
So is it a matter of sort of looking at the skills you have and saying, well, these ones are things that a robot probably can't do, and focus on those more?
100%, yes, you should look at the skills you've got. And ironically, the skills that robots are not going to have are perhaps some of the most old-fashioned jobs. So I have said before that I think, you know, one of the oldest jobs on the planet, being a carpenter, is one of the safest jobs, because we will appreciate the hand-carved work, the work that you know, is unique and bespoke that only a carpenter can do and is not made mass-produced by a machine.
So what will be the impact of robotics and AI on the workplace? Dr. Walsh's view is that some professions
will take a hit, and there will be certainly a lot of re-employment happening. So people need to be flexible and adaptable. But it's not going to be completely disastrous. In fact, the hope is that, you know, machines will take the sweat and we can focus on the better things in lives.
I was going to say, there's been, you know, lots of forecasts of humans losing jobs to computers over the years, like when the internet popped up, for example. But it seems that what happens is a whole lot of new jobs appear that we didn't know about before. Is that a reasonable summation?
lots of new jobs will appear. Lots of new jobs have been appear. A good example I'd like to give people is printing. I mean, many of the traditional old jobs in printing, setting hot type, disappear. But there are many new jobs in the digital equivalent, you know, making web pages and all the digital things that are equivalent to printing that we do today. So lots of new jobs do get created. The problem is that they often require different skills than the old jobs that may have been destroyed.
So robots and AI are here to stay. But the fear around robots being able to outthink and outperform humans when it comes to more complex tasks still seems a long way off. I think we should all take Mark Pesce's advice and go learn a new skill. A skill where robots will help you achieve more in smarter ways. I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M, and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter.
The views expressed during this series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Ford Motor Company Australia Limited.